the competitive landscape of the retail pharmacy industry is changing, with increased pressure from the larger discounters such as Chemist Warehouse driving prices down, and the increasing popularity of generic pharmaceuticals reducing profit margins. To keep customers loyal and revenues stable, the local community pharmacy needs to devise new strategies. But some of these strategies may be a bit dodgy. One of the tactics that's emerged in recent times is the illegal practice of ghost dispensing, as Tanya Katsanis explains.
Ghost dispensing is something that we're seeing at the moment within the community pharmacy sector, whereby a pharmacy which is not approved, that is, it's not what's referred to as a Section 90 pharmacy, and Section 90 pharmacies are approved by Medicare to provide pharmaceutical benefits for the government on behalf of the government through community pharmacy.
Paul Sinclair is the president of the Pharmacy Guild of New South Wales.
Ghost dispensing, as it's referred to, is when a secondary dispense system is set up and it ghosts or looks like a system in an approved pharmacy, so that what in fact is happening is that the unapproved pharmacy, which isn't licensed to provide pharmaceutical benefits, is actually purporting to be an approved pharmacy.
The Australian retail pharmacy industry is valued at $12.2 billion and is made up of around 5,250 retail pharmacies. These pharmacies can be split into two groups. The first group are PBS-approved pharmacies. That means pharmacies that are government-approved to dispense PBS-approved medications, as well as dispense discount medication to pensioners and veterans. The second group of pharmacies are known as non-PBS-approved pharmacies and therefore are not allowed to dispense the PBS-approved medication. It's the second group that seem to be involved in ghost dispensing. The illegal practice is still relatively new, with the Pharmacy Guild only receiving a handful of reports in the last 18 to 24 months. For any action to be taken, proof needs to accompany any complaint, and the Pharmacy Guild and Medicare rely on either a pharmacist or customer to provide the evidence, and that may not always be easy. Les, whose name has been changed by request, has been a pharmacist for over 20 years. This is how he discovered a new non-PBS pharmacy opened in his area and was engaging in ghost dispensing.
There was a non-PBS pharmacy that was set up in an area which was not too far from where I practice. And as such, I was very suspicious because the owner of that non-PBS pharmacy also had an approved pharmacy, which was probably not as remote a location as one would have first thought. And questions were raised amongst colleagues, so I actually went and visited that pharmacy under the guise of being a patient and established that with the information that was given to me by the pharmacist there, this practice does go on.
A trained pharmacist knows what to look for, but once they discover a local pharmacy is practicing ghost dispensing, the next step is to get proof. The process of lodging a complaint is quite involved, as Paul Sinclair, president of the Pharmacy Guild of New South Wales, explains.
The guild has a template of documents which we ask the pharmacy to complete. And within that brief of documents, there is a number of things we ask them to collect which substantiate the fact that pharmaceutical benefits were being provided to the member of the public from an unapproved pharmacy, so that there is a number of things that the pharmacist would complete and a number of pieces of evidence that would be assembled to support the claim that there was an inappropriate dispensing going on.
A consumer may be unaware that their local pharmacy is acting illegally, even though the proof of the ghost dispensing may be staring them right in the face. Paul Sinclair says the label issued by the pharmacy for your prescription medication will provide the proof as to whether or not your local pharmacy is ghost dispensing.
The first sign of this would be that the label on the medication would not reflect the physical address from where the medicine was dispensed. So that if there was an unapproved pharmacy, for instance sake, in Christie Street, St Leonard's, and it was dispensing using a ghost dispensing system, and the approved pharmacy might be at Pendle Hill, then if I'm having a prescription dispensed at St Leonard's, the address on the label and the repeats may well be that of a pharmacy in another suburb such as Pendle Hill. But to all intent and purposes, the customer is not aware of what's happening.
Local community pharmacies build relationships with their customers, which can sometimes span for generations. Les the pharmacist says that pharmacies which engage in ghost dispensing are taking customers away from their local chemist, meaning local businesses are at risk of shutting down. He also says the important relationship between the customer and their pharmacist is suffering.
The pharmacy that I currently own is a community pharmacy. It's well entrenched in the community and has been for many, many years. We have three generations of families coming into the pharmacy, so we're well entrenched into the fabric of the community here, as many other pharmacies are. The non-PBS pharmacies, what they're doing is they're taking those particular patients, attracting them on the guise of convenience, and dispensing those medications, taking that business away from other established businesses in the area, because they're siphoning off that localised business off to the remote location. They're taking away the fabric of the community pharmacy. They're taking away the establishment of a relationship with the patient and the pharmacist that we do have. You get to know your pharmacist, you get to know the medication and your personal history. That is eroded in the way that they do things in regards to the non-PBS pharmacy.
Medicare is the regulatory body that investigates all complaints in relation to pharmacy and pharmacists and controls the regulatory policy. The practice of ghost dispensing is still relatively new, and the laws and regulations that cover ghost dispensing are playing catch-up. On the Money contacted Medicare via the Department of Health and Ageing. They were unavailable for comment but advised the following in a statement.
From 1st of December 2014, the Minister for Health introduced a new condition of approval in the National Health Pharmaceutical Benefits Conditions of Approval for Approved Pharmacists Determination 2007. This new condition reinforces existing requirements for approved pharmacists when making a claim for payment from the Commonwealth under the PBS. This change was intended to address the occurrence of claiming for supplies of PBS medicines made through premises for which the pharmacist was not approved. Once the committee has conducted an investigation, a report is provided to the Minister for Health. Based on this report, the minister may choose to take no action, reprimand the approved pharmacist, or suspend or revoke their approval granted under Section 90 of the Act, Section 95 or the Act refers. Where non-compliant conduct has been substantiated, a range of actions may be initiated, including the recovery of funds or prosecution for a criminal offence.
The Pharmacy Guild of New South Wales is aware that there are a number of investigations underway by Medicare, but would not comment as to how many pharmacies are under investigation, nor what the potential penalties would be if a pharmacy was in fact found guilty of ghost dispensing. They also would not say whether any pharmacies investigated to date have in actual fact been found guilty. Les the pharmacist says the only way he thinks we can expose the problem is by having Medicare inspectors to check how non-PBS pharmacies are dispensing their prescriptions.
The only real way to do it is to go out, have feet on the ground and visit these non-PBS pharmacies and see how they dispense the co-payment prescriptions. So it would be a labour-intensive exercise. However, it would be nonetheless an exercise that will certainly put them on notice and hopefully get them back to practising in line with the regulations.
Tanya Katsanis with that report.